With the 13th pick in the NFL draft, the Philadelphia Eagles select.
You're listening to the Journey to the Draft podcast, presented by AAA.
Every athlete has a journey. Focus on the game. Let us worry about getting you there. Auto repair, roadside assistance, and auto insurance. Start your journey at AAA.com. Day two of our Senior Bowl coverage is just about in the books. Hi, everyone. I am Alex Smith, joined by Fran Duffy. We are coming to you from Mobile, Alabama, at Radio Row here at the Players Hotel. Fran, I got a bone to pick with you. I got to be honest.
Oh, no. Here we go.
I have a little complaint that I have to give you for the day today.
Yes.
Months ago when we started really planning out these trips and, you know, we figured out that I'd be the one to be coming down here with you.
Right.
You promised me, you know, we could see all these prospects and we get this great weather. We're going to St. Pete.
Yeah.
We're going to Mobile. It's going to be a good time. Bring some sunscreen. And it's just – it's been – miserable weather for the majority of these two trips.
You know, Alex, obviously, look, you've now experienced this. This is your second trip with me. You know that I try to plan out as much as humanly possible.
It's true. You are very, very detailed. You're very thorough, and I appreciate it very much.
I can only control so much. I can't control the weather.
You got to be much able to put in a word with somebody here.
as much as I'd like to,
you've been coming here for years. Can't you talk to Phil Savage and get him to – do something about this.
The strings I can pull only reach so far,
Well.
And the weather definitely has not cooperated. Hopefully, it'll be a little better on Wednesday or Thursday now.
Another chilly day, and I know people at home are probably thinking, you don't have a lot to complain about. You're watching football, and, you know, it's true. I'm having a great time. I'm really enjoying this, my first experience down here, just seeing everybody and just, you know, seeing how the sausage gets made, in other words, seeing all the people down here and how much goes into it and what the city of Mobile does for the Senior Bowl. It's really, really incredible. But, that weather, another cold day, but I think I will survive. Anyway, we have a jam-packed edition of the Journey to the Draft podcast presented by AAA today. We'll get into a couple of we'll get into Draft Buzz, where we have a couple of draft items that we'll get into. Mr. Relevant will have with Tony Pauline from DraftInsider.net, as he will give his day two recap, which players stood out at the stadium today. Pick six, we'll talk about which players, in our opinions, Fran, have really increased their stock over the first 2 days of practice. We have an unofficial visit with one of those players from the pick six segment as well. And then, as usual, we'll go on the clock and we'll dig into our draft mailbag. So, ready to go?
We are ready. Let's get this going.
Let's jump right into it with Draft Buzz.
Now it's time for Draft Buzz.
All right, first order of business here in Draft Buzz, Fran, is a little bit of housekeeping. A couple players have had to drop out of the Senior Bowl due to injuries, and we have had some replacements. Arkansas State tight end Darian Griswold, a guy that we saw at the Shrine game in St. Pete last week, he is now here. He replaces tight end Jake McGee from Florida with an injury. And then linebackers Josh Perry and Connor McGovern are also out this week. So three players out. We do get Griswold back in. So a little bit of a change up there in the roster.
Yeah, a little bit of a change. We saw Griswold last week, so we'll get a chance to see even more of him now. That makes three players that we saw at the Shrine game now here at the Senior Bowl in Mobile.
Correct.
With Griswold, Graham Glasgow, of course, the standout lineman from Michigan, and then the wide receiver Tajay Sharp, a personal favorite of yours from UMass now that we see down here. But another opportunity for Griswold to show his stuff in front of NFL talent evaluators. And it's tough losing some of these guys. I know you were excited to see Jake McGee.
Yeah, I really was. Especially after the weigh-ins, too. 6'5", 252.
Sure.
I thought that he could have been a really interesting prospect to keep an eye on. But, hey, it means that we get to see a little bit more of Darian Griswold, who did show some pretty nice things at the Shrine game last week. And it's cool to see some of the Shrine game guys get the bump up here. Graham Glasgow's the guy you just mentioned. I think he's had a really solid week here at the Senior Bowl, even with that increased talent level that he's going up against.
Well, there was the play. You and I both were watching. It was a 9-on-7 drill, and we were watching. And the 9-on-7 is a very run-oriented period. It's the receivers and DBs are pretty much taken out, and it's all about the offensive line against the defensive front seven. And there was a double team between Spencer Drango at left guard and Graham Glasgow on the nose tackle from Clemson, DJ Reader. They got great movement at the point of attack. Drango pulled off, so it was just Glasgow against Reader, and Glasgow just finished Reader into the dirt. It was great to see him get after it because it had been a little bit – it was up and down moments for Glasgow throughout the week, but it was good to see him get after it this morning.
All right, next item of business here in Draft Buzz. Fran, this one probably won't be much of a surprise to you. Our friend and NFL media analyst Mike Mayock from NFL Network says that Alabama linebacker Reggie Ragland will be an immediate NFL starter. I'm a huge fan of Reggie Ragland. This is a guy that you've been a big fan all along. So now he has just another endorsement, but coming from a pretty good source in Mike Mayock.
Yeah, and I actually talked with Mike about him, I want to say, back in October or November. And when I got that validation, it's always great because so sometimes some of these big – obviously, Mayock is the best out there in terms of his talent evaluations and the work that he puts in. It's unparalleled. And so – getting that kind of evaluation from Mike Mayock to say you're going to be an immediate starter, that's great for Reggie Ragland. He's obviously one of the more talked about prospects down here in Mobile, trying to show his wares here on this Jacksonville coaching staff. Really, really interesting prospect moving forward, and a guy that I think – I agree with Mike. I think he's a day one starter. We'll see if he ends up going top 20. I think he belongs in that discussion. Whether or not he ends up there will be very interesting to watch.
We will have to wait and see. So Ragland, one of the most talked about guys here in Mobile. Fran, another one of the most talked about guys has been Braxton Miller from Ohio State. And apparently he's been modeling his game after Pittsburgh Steelers wide receiver Antonio Brown, who's one of the best wide receivers in the NFL. Miller's only been playing wide receiver for a little bit, but you have to be impressed by what you see from him.
Yeah, and we always knew he was a great athlete, and that's always been apparent from the very moment that he stepped on the field in Columbus. But really what has surprised me over the course of the last, we'll say, 8 months or so, is how quickly he has taken to the wide receiver position. And you see not just the athleticism, not just the speed and the quickness and the suddenness that obviously Antonio Brown has as well, but almost the subtleties that you see. And I remember we were doing a play-by-play segment, myself and Tony Pauline, earlier this morning, looking at that North team. It was a one-on-one drill, and he showed great separation quickness at the top of the route, just a little subtle move at the very top of his stem to gain separation on Eric Murray, the corner from Minnesota, and he separated. And then once he gets that little sliver of separation, he pulls away in the open field, and he made the catch over the middle of the field. Really just such an impressive player. He plays the ball so well in the air. I'm really excited about Braxton Miller. You know, I think that coming into the week, I thought, okay, you know, I think that he's probably like a third-round pick because – hasn't played much receiver. Obviously, he's got the great athlete. You're kind of betting on that upside. He's a great kid as well. I think he's shown to be one of the best receivers down here. It would not surprise me to see him go higher than that.
But what does he have to do better? He can't just come in, you know, in 1 year as a wide receiver and be this perfect wide receiver. From what you've seen either on film or now that you've gotten a chance to watch him up close in person, what does Braxton Miller have to do better as a wide receiver?
Well, I think that there's still a lot of refinement. And when I say that he's shown – the ability to be good at the top of his route, and he's shown the ability to play the ball in the air. I guess you got to take it into a context and say, look, if you're not comparing him, you're not saying that he is where Amari Cooper was last year at this day. You know, that's what made Amari Cooper so good. Obviously, athletically, he was solid. He wasn't necessarily a huge deep threat, but he was so good at using his technique to create separation. And to see Braxton Miller show flashes of that at such early stages of his wide receiver career is very, very impressive. So you just want to see more consistency. I think he's got to get better as a blocker. And there's some little things in terms of his releases, especially against press coverage, that he'll continue to prove himself in those areas. But those are the areas where you want to see him improve.
Yeah, and Braxton Miller was just one of a number of players who stood out to our Mr. Relevant, and that's Tony Pauline of DraftInsider.net. So now let's go to the interview that I did with Tony earlier today as he recapped the standout players from day two here at the Senior Bowl.
It's time for Mr. Relevant.
It is now time for our day two recap of all the action here at the Senior Bowl in Mobile, Alabama. I am Alex Smith. Joining me is Tony Pauline of DraftInsider.net. Tony, we had some wet, sloppy, cold conditions today, but some players did still manage to stand out. Sheldon Rankins from Louisville was one of them.
It's football weather is what we saw today in Alabama, and Sheldon Rankins was terrific. Hands down, the best defensive lineman of both teams. He was absolutely dominant. Went through a series where there's a handful of snaps where he just was running by people, ran over them. I mean, really had a day where, if he continues to capitalize on it tomorrow, will greatly enhance his draft stock.
How about another defensive lineman, Noah Spence, small school guy, but he's come through in a big way.
Yeah, former Ohio State transfer, had some problems at Ohio State and had to transfer to Eastern Kentucky, really showed flashes of that dominance that he played to in 2013 when he was with the Buckeyes. Really best standing up over tackles, a pass rusher, uses his hands well. A couple times he beat LaRavion Clark of Texas Tech, the highly rated offensive tackle around the edge, not only rushing the passer but against the run. Very athletic, very explosive. I mean, here's a guy who's got first-round playing potential. The only thing about him, and we're not going to find out, is how do teams perceive his interviews about his past issues.
Switching over to the offensive side of the ball, Tony, one of the players that has really caught my eyes in the first 2 days is Kenyon Drake, the running back from Alabama. Can do a lot of things pretty well. What did you see from him today?
You know, on that slippery field that you talked about, great quickness, great speed, beat defenders around the perimeter, broke off several long runs on the outside as well as the inside, caught the ball well. I don't think he's a feature runner, but he's really establishing himself as a mid-round pick for a team that wants that third down type of back, the situational type of back. Really shown the ability to do it all. High character guy, very athletic, very productive.
How about on the offensive line, another guy who could fit that mid-round type type player, Joe Dahl, an interesting-looking prospect out of Washington State.
College left tackles, moved into guard, did very well, looks very athletic. I think what I really liked about him is his ability to adjust and really recover, where it looks like he's going to be beat. He's able to change his body to square up into the defender and get him out of the play. I thought Dahl had a terrific day today.
And one of our final players that we're going to talk about here, Darian Thompson, the safety out of Boise State. He did some a lot of things really well in the secondary today.
Yeah, exactly. Not only against the run, but the pass. Showed himself to be a complete safety. I mean, most of the defensive back play so far has been rather mediocre. Thompson has shown himself to really be on the positive side on almost every snap. Very good in coverage drills, covering the tight ends and the backs. Forceful against the run, in scrimmage, covers a lot of area. Not just a downhill safety, a guy who goes sideline to sideline, get out to the flanks, and make plays.
And let's close things out here by talking about a player who has really impressed in both days here, Braxton Miller from Ohio State.
Coming into the Senior Bowl, I rated Braxton Miller as a mid-third round choice. He's jumped into the early part of round two. It basically, he's taken to a duck-like water, playing the receiver position and making NFL type of routes, making NFL type of catches, because that's what you do here. The ability to double cut, the way he uses his hands to separate from defenders. I mean, he's answered every call. He's done a great job of it, and as we said, with basically brand-new quarterbacks. I mean, this is the first time he's had the Carson Wentz and all these other guys throwing the ball, so he's had just a tremendous week. Improved today in the second day of practice from what was a phenomenal first day yesterday.
He is Tony Pauline of DraftInsider.net. I'm Alex Smith, and for continuing coverage here from Mobile, Alabama at the 2016 Senior Bowl, stay right here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
Now it's time for Pick 6.
Moving right along here on the Journey to the Draft podcast presented by AAA. I'm Alex Smith alongside from Fran Duffy. And I want to take a quick second here to thank everyone for listening, whether it's on iTunes, Stitcher, however it is that you listen to your Eagles podcast. We thank you for downloading. We thank you for listening. Be sure to rate, comment, subscribe. Hit us up on Twitter. Let us know however you can what you like about the show, what you think we could do better, and what you'd like to see moving forward. But, Fran, it is now time for Pick 6. And for today, I thought that we would go through six players who have increased their stock the most in the 2 days that we've been able to see them up close and in person. And my first guy, I know that you've been pretty high on this player for a long time, but it's Eastern Kentucky defensive end Noah Spence. 6'2", 254 pounds, and I didn't really know that much about him since he came from a bit of a smaller school, but he's just been tearing it up these first couple days. He's shown an impressive array of different pass rush moves that he can have, and he's taken a number of different offensive linemen and really shown his skills. I know you were able to catch up with him and speak to him for a little bit as well, but Noah Spence is a really interesting guy, and I think for a smaller school guy like Spence, this is a huge event, and he's really shined through the first 2 days.
Yeah, no question about it. You mentioned I got a chance to talk to him. He was born in Philly, moved out to Harrisburg, so he's an Eagles fan growing up. Mentioned how much he loved watching Trent Cole and his relentless nature as a pass rusher and how he really tries to model some of that in what he does.
He kind of fits that
mold,
doesn't he?
Yeah, no question. And he certainly looks the part. I mean, 6'2 and a half, 255 pounds, a really intriguing player, and he certainly looks the part of an NFL pass rusher. And I agree with everything you just said. I mean, the ability to attack offensive linemen with a number of different moves was something that really impressed me, because when I watched him when he was at Ohio State, remember, he was a big-time recruit going to Ohio State, had to transfer out because of off-the-field issues. I thought he was kind of a one-trick pony. He really started to develop a lot of areas of his game later in his career, and attacking, using his hands better and attacking offensive linemen in a variety of ways is certainly one of the areas where he's improved. The first guy I'm going to go with, Matt Ioannidis from Temple. You know, 6'3 and a half, 303 pounds, bigger than a lot of people thought he was going to measure in at. So right off the bat, he had a plus. He dominated from the very first practice, had another disruptive day today. I think that he's shown the ability to be a penetrating defensive tackle. We knew that how disruptive he could be at the point of attack as a three technique, gap penetrating defensive tackle. And I think Ioannidis has shown that he has the ability to stick with some of the best players in this draft class on the offensive line. He's shown the ability to be very dominant in a lot of different areas. He's been unblockable at times. The question will be, you know, where will he go in this draft? Tony Pauline, draftinsider.net, our buddy, we just heard from him, Mr. Elevant, thinks he could slide into day two. So you could see Matt Ioannidis Temple be a second or third round pick.
Where does he fit best in a defense? What scheme fits him best?
I think he's a 4-3-3 technique. I think that's his best bet. Now, you know, he came in bigger than a lot of people thought. I think that no one was really expecting him to come in at 303 pounds. So the fact that he came in at that weight and he still shows the ability to have that quickness, that burst off the line of scrimmage and get into the opposing backfield is impressive.
All right, for my next player here, I'm going to go into the defensive secondary. And I'm going to go with another small school guy, William and Mary safety DeAndre Houston Carson. We saw him at the weigh-ins. Measured pretty well at some long arms. He's measured at 6 foot, 197 pounds. And he hasn't made any plays that we've really looked at and said, wow, like that's a great play. But he just seems like a very consistent player in the secondary who flashes some good things here or there, shown a good ability to cover, you know, both sides of the field as that over-the-top safety. He's been a really good player at the FCS level for the last couple of years. And I think he's done a lot to kind of get his name out there here in Mobile.
Yeah, and I think that he was one of the guys I was most excited to see coming down here. And I agree, he hasn't made any flashy plays yet, but there were a couple times where I thought he recovered well on the back end, whether it was in team or in one-on-one drills. Maybe he didn't make the interception, but showed the ability to have that recovery speed. He's a former corner, so he knows what he's doing on the back end. And I'm going to go with another small school player, another small school defensive back, James Bradbury from Samford. He's got good size. He's 6'1", 209 pounds, and I think he does a really good job at the line of scrimmage. And he did a really good job today in those press situations, disrupting early in the down. He got one receiver on the ground with his jam at the line of scrimmage. So a really impressive player that I think the arrow is certainly pointing up with him. Bradbury's had a good week.
And for my last player here, it's another guy in the secondary. It's a guy from your neck of the woods, Fran. Another Temple guy. Cornerback Tavon Young.
There you go.
When we first saw him at the weigh-ins, I thought he measured it a little small. He's 5'9.5", 180 pounds. But he's really shown in the past couple days of practices this week that his size really isn't an issue, and he's shown some really good cover skills, both in press coverage and backing off. He's played a lot of nickel. We've seen him play the slot here, and that could be an interesting fit for him at the next level. I like what I've seen from Tavon Young. I know you've watched him more than I have, but just from the first couple days that I've seen him here, I think he's shown that he can do a lot despite his smaller frame.
Yeah, certainly has the quickness. I think he's got really clean feet. I think he's got the ability to hip pocket with receivers down the field in man coverage, and he doesn't have great size. Like you mentioned, he's sub 5'10". He's only 180 pounds, but with the ability to play inside and outside, I think he offers some value. And if he can show that he can play special teams to the next level, that will only help his cause.
Absolutely.
So I like the Tavon Young pick. To close this out, I'm going to go with a guy that I was really excited to see. His frame is outstanding, and that's LaRaven Clark from Texas Tech. He's 6'5", and just over 6'5 and a half, 312 pounds. His hands are almost 11 inches, 10 and 7/8 inches, 36 and a quarter inch arms, 85 and 7/8 inch wingspan. And all three of those numbers, the hand size, the arm length, and the wingspan, would be in the top 90 percentile of all offensive tackles drafted in the last 5 years. He's a ginormous human being, shows the ability to protect the edge. I think he's had a good week of practice. He still needs some refinement. There are certain times where I think he has some lapses in technique, but definitely a guy that is a moldable ball of clay for an offensive line coach that likes to develop those kinds of players. I think he offers a lot of versatility. And for that size, he's actually a pretty good athlete too. And I remember what was the one thing I said to you? Alex and I, we split up for about 40 minutes or so today during practice. I came over, and one of the first things I said to you was,
LaRaven Clark.
There's no way LaRaven Clark is falling into the day three of the draft. I really think that this guy's going to go probably day two. I don't know if he'll slide all the way up to round one, but I think he's going to be a day two pick because of his upside, his size, and a combination of size and athleticism, I think is really impressive.
You can't quiz me and put me on the spot like that because my brain was halfway frozen from sitting in the bleachers. Plus, I had Tony Pauline.
Weather.
I had Tony Pauline just chirping at me the whole time.
Yep.
He left me alone with him up there. It was certainly an interesting time.
Listen,
up there
I had to throw you right into the fire. I'm not going to just babysit you while you sit here with Tony. Like I got to throw you into the fire with him for a little bit.
Well, I think you just called LaRaven Clark a ginormous human being.
I did.
You would know better than most because you were able to catch up with him and interview him one-on-one, up close and in person. So here's your interview from earlier today with offensive tackle LaRaven Clark.
The unofficial visit.
Here now with Texas Tech offensive lineman LaRaven Clark. And LaRaven, I don't know that our lens is big enough right now to capture you. Obviously, you're one of the bigger offensive linemen here at the Senior Bowl. Can you just talk about, for those who haven't yet seen you play, how do you use that size to your advantage?
He's more so just being using my size and being athletic. He's more so.
And then based off your feedback from scouts, what is one area you want to improve on throughout the draft process?
Just trying to show that I can come out of three-point snaps. Most of the guys kind of have concerns since we played in the spread offense at Texas Tech and spread it out and threw the ball around. Just want to see me get down in three-point stance and be able to play from that position.
Well, what's the biggest challenge in trying to make that transition?
It hasn't really been any for me. I mean, I feel good coming out of my three-point stance and all that. I mean, just coming out the ball, that's all it is.
And you have that versatility. You played tackle. You played guard earlier in your career. What is the difference, really, what's the biggest difference you see moving forward between those two positions? Do you think you can play inside at the next level as well?
Definitely, I think I'm playing inside. I mean, I don't see a big problem happening with that. Just tighten up my sets more so. Just things happen a little bit quicker inside. I don't have a problem with adjusting to that.
And then a lot of talented pass rushers in the Big 12. Who would you say is the best player you went up against your senior year?
Probably Eric Stryker or Ogba from OSU. He's a pretty good player.
All right, well, best of luck, LaRaven. Appreciate it.
Right. On the clock.
Rolling right along here, Fran. It is now time to go on the clock. I hope that you are ready because I have prepared some absolutely outstanding questions for you
awesome.
In today's edition for On the Clock. First one up, Fran, over under. We're going to go all over under today.
All right, this is great.
Over under, 2.5 QBs taken in the first 13 picks of the NFL draft. Of course, we go with 13 because that's where the Eagles pick. So by the time the Eagles are off the board, hypothetically at number 13, 2.5 quarterbacks off the board, over under.
And this is a big question if you're an Eagles fan, because you're wondering, and we've gotten a lot of questions this week about Carson Wentz. Is he going to be there at 13? Would Jared Goff or Paxton Lynch be the guy? If you are a Carson Wentz fan, you need to root for this number to be over. You need to root for some of these other quarterbacks to go in this top area, because if you look at the first 13 picks and who needs a quarterback, and we don't know that the Eagles are going to need one. If they re-sign Sam Bradford to a big deal,
of course.
I think it's very, very unlikely that they will draft a quarterback at 13. But you look at Tennessee, obviously don't need one.
Nope.
Cleveland's going to be in the quarterback market,
for sure.
So you count them as a team. San Diego, probably not. Dallas looks like they could potentially be in the
it's a possibility,
for a quarterback.
And of course they do. They are. Their coaching staff is coaching the North team, so they've seen Carson Wentz all week long.
Absolutely. So Jacksonville, no. Baltimore, no. San Francisco potentially could be in the quarterback market.
So that's
market.
Three.
So you potentially three. I don't know if Miami, maybe they got a new coaching staff. How sold are they going to be on Ryan Tannehill? 9 is Tampa Bay. 10 is New York. 11 is Chicago, potentially. You'll see how they feel about Jay Cutler. Again, it's a new offensive staff there. How are they going to feel about Jay Cutler and his abilities? New Orleans Saints, no. So you've got at least three, maybe four or five teams that are looking for a quarterback. But you know what? I'm going to go the under. I think there's a chance that one of those guys falls. Now, which one will it be? I don't know. It's me personally. I think I prefer Wentz and Lynch over Goff. That's just me. I like what Wentz can do. I think he's the most complete of all these quarterback prospects, and maybe the most ready to play right now. Lynch certainly has a high upside with his arm strength, his light feet. Definitely has the upside to be a very, very good player. Goff, I think, needs a lot of work, relatively speaking. I just don't know that he's going to be that high of a pick.
Yeah, the quarterback position is always one of the most, if not the single most talked about positions here at the Senior Bowl. And, you know, I've heard some people saying, you know, whether it's on Twitter or wherever it is, that there's no Marcus Mariotas and there's no Jameis Winstons in this draft, so maybe teams will be less likely to reach for a quarterback early if they don't think that there's a superstar at the top of the list, and they can maybe get a guy in the later rounds who they think could be just as good, if not better. But even with all of that said, I'm still going to take the over. I think three quarterbacks will go off the board in the first 13 picks. Carson Wentz, Jared Goff, and Paxton Lynch.
I don't know what
order they're going to go in.
Yeah.
And I don't know who's going to take them, but I do think that three QBs will go off the board in the top 13 picks.
Yeah, I think that's perfectly – you could have swung me either way with that.
All right, next question here deals with the wide receivers that we're seeing here in Mobile. Braxton Miller, Aaron Burbridge, Sterling Shepard. Fran, over under one half of them making it to the third round. So, in other words, will any of them make it to the third round?
If you had asked me a week ago, if you had asked me 2 days ago, I would have told you Braxton Miller probably would have fell to the third round. He's starting to win me, and it's not like I didn't like him, but I thought that, you know, he still needed a lot of refinement. We just got done talking about it in a couple segments ago. I don't know, man. I think he's proven to be one of the best receivers here. I think Sterling Shepard will probably go in the second round. I still think one of them will fall. It could be Burbridge. Miller still could go. I'll take the over, though. I would be willing to bet that one of those guys, because there's only so many wide receivers that are going to go that high. And you look at the other receivers. You look at some of the juniors. Obviously, we're not counting in Josh Doctson, who's not here now because of the injury. But you talk about Tyler Boyd and Corey Coleman and Laquon Treadwell. Rashard Higgins from Colorado State, I think, is flying under the radar. Michael Thomas from Ohio State. A lot of players here that could potentially go that high. I'll take the over on one of these guys falling to the third round.
I'm going to take the under just to disagree with you for one thing, but also because I just think that all three of these guys have really shown what they could do here. I like each and every one of them, and I would definitely not be opposed to seeing any of them in an Eagles uniform next season. Miller has just really stood out. Burbridge is just as consistent as you'll see.
Yep.
And Sterling Shepard made a really, really nice catch. Me and you were both watching it during 7-on-7s today. I believe it was Jake Coker, the quarterback from Alabama, who threw it. And he just kind of hit him in stride, but Shepard had to reach out at the last second, and he just plucked it out of the air. I really like all three of these wide receivers, and I know you've mentioned some of the other names who, you know, are going to be in the mix at the wide receiver position, but I think these three guys are really, really good, so I'm going to take the under.
That's
and say
fair.
That none of them make it to the third round. If you had to rank them right now, 1, 2, 3, in the order they're going to go in, what would you put them in?
Oof, man, it's tough. You know, here's why it's tough. It's tough because they play slightly different positions. Burbridge isn't going to be used the same way as Shepard and Miller will be. Burbridge isn't a great athlete, man. And the combine, I think, will be important for him because if he goes there and does not test well, I think some people will be alarmed by that. I think that he's a deceptive athlete, but he's not an explosive, twitchy kid. So I think that that will be an important thing to watch. If I had to rank them right now on guys that I'd want, and again, they're slightly different in terms of skill sets. I think I take Shepard 1, maybe Burbridge 2, and then Miller 3.
Ooh, and I thought you were going to go with the same order that
I know.
Which would be Shepard, Miller, Burbridge.
It's close.
It's very close. But that's what, you know what? That's what the Senior Bowl's for. That's what the Combine's for. That's what all these evaluations are for. So we'll see how it all shakes out. It's one of the exciting things about this draft process. All right, next one up. Fran, now we're moving to the running back position. Over under one half of a running back taken by the Eagles in the draft. So in other words, will the Eagles draft one running back in this year's draft?
I'll take the under. You know, I think that there's a lot of other areas of need. Obviously, we know what the Eagles have at the running back position right now with DeMarco Murray, with Ryan Matthews, with Darren Sproles. There's an issue with, in terms of durability, with two of those guys. Obviously, Darren Sproles is getting up there. Could they draft one? Absolutely, and I wouldn't rule it out. But I'll take my chances and take the under.
I'm going to agree with you this time, Fran. I'm going to take the under as well. And we've seen some really talented running backs down here. Kenneth Dixon, Tyler Irvin from San Jose State has been really impressive. We even saw a couple of nice looking prospects at the Shrine Game last week. But I think the Eagles. I don't think they're completely set at their right. running back group right now, but I think that with those three guys, Murray, Sproles, and Matthews, that I think they're pretty comfortable with how that looks right now. And even Kenyon Barner, a guy who's shown that he can do some things here or there. So do they bring in a guy as an undrafted rookie or, you know, bring in a different running back down the line? Probably. But I don't think the Eagles are going to draft running back in this year's draft.
I'm not turning down Tyler Irvin on day three.
Okay, well, if Tyler Irvin's still there, well, sure, sure.
I'm just throwing it out there. Hey, he's small. He could fall that far.
What about Kenneth Dixon in round three?
If Kenneth Dixon's there in round three, I might pull the trigger there because I love Kenneth Dixon. So,
All right.
It's an unfair question.
Next question here, again, relates back to the Eagles. Fran, in recent years, the Eagles have been known to take a good amount of the players that they see here in the Senior Bowl. So over under 3.5 Senior Bowl players drafted by the Eagles this year. They took 3 players last year out of just their 6 draft picks. So over under 3.5 from this year's group.
I'm going to take the over. You know, I think that overall, I think they're going to have a lot of picks.
Yeah, they have 9 picks right now.
They have 9 picks right now. They've always shown a propensity to selecting these Senior Bowl players. I'm going to take the over. And that means, you know, you're talking – that's why this is so important. Everyone says, oh, you know, it's a Senior Bowl. Like, some of the best players drop out. No. But there's going to be a handful of these guys that are going to be on this team next year. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. And I think that I'll definitely take the over and feel pretty confident with it.
Yeah, I'm going to take the over as well, really for all the reasons that you just said. And also because I think that this is just a really, really talented Senior Bowl group that we have here. There aren't really any players at all where you look out at them and, you know, from the stands and you say, oh, that guy's completely overmatched. What's he doing here? He doesn't deserve to be here. These are really, really good players. These are probably the top players or most of the top senior players, of course, who will be available in this year's draft. So I just think this group is too good, and when you have 9 picks, I think that the odds are pretty favorable that at least 4 of them will be Senior Bowl players. So I'm going to take the over as well. All right, Fran, our last question here. Let's look again, looking at the Eagles draft picks, we mentioned that they have 9 picks, but as of right now, they don't have a second round pick. That, of course, was traded to the St. Louis, now the Los Angeles Rams, in the Sam Bradford trade. But you never know how things work out. So, Fran, over under 1/2 of a second round draft pick for the Eagles this year, aka, will they trade into the second round some way, somehow?
I mean, chalk answer is no, because obviously you're counting on them making a pretty substantial trade. Now you're selecting. I'm assuming you're selecting 13th overall in the third round, or somewhere in that range. It could be 11th or 12th. I have to look and see
the Lions pick as well.
Sure.
So that's
could make a trade and try and move up. And we know that Howie Roseman has always been a fan of moving up and down in the draft, and there's always been some movement there. He's always done a really good job of being creative in those areas. I'll still take the under.
Again, I'm going to agree with you here. I'm going to take the under as well. Even though they have those 9 picks that we mentioned, and even though you mentioned how Howie Roseman loves to kind of wheel and deal on draft day and move up and move around and get to the players that he wants, it's just going to be so tough to move back into that second round. And I know, you know, it's going to be really tempting with all the talent that they have there. And I'm sure they're going to try. I think they're going to, you know, use whatever options that they can to try to get back into that second round. But at the end of the day, I think the cost would just be a little bit too much. So I'm going to take the under as well. Okay, so that'll wrap things up for On the Clock. We're moving right along here. And I think it's time for our final segment of today's Journey to the Draft podcast. So let's dig into our draft mailbag.
Now it's time to hear from you, the fans, in the draft mailbag.
All right, thank you to everyone who sent in questions today. We have a good list of questions, and again, we want to thank everyone for listening. Whether you download through iTunes, Stitcher, or however it is that you listen to your Eagles podcast, be sure to rate, comment, subscribe, tell us what you like and what you don't like. All right, Fran, our first draft mailbag question here comes from Angel, who wants to know, what do you think of Cyrus Jones as an NFL corner? Just to me personally, I think Jones has shown himself pretty well. He also shows he can do some good things in special teams as a returner.
Sure.
But you've watched him a little bit more than I have, a lot more than I have, actually. So what do you think of Cyrus Jones as a corner at the next level?
Yeah, I think that Jones offers a lot of ability. And coming out of last year, his junior season, I was a little bit worried about his athleticism. And then I found out, actually, after I watched him, he played for a majority of the season his junior year with a sports hernia surgery. And after he got the surgery in the offseason, got healed up. He's a former wide receiver, shows the ability to play the ball in the air. I think that he's a pretty deceptive athlete. Shows the return ability. I think he's a really competitive corner. I think he's a good run defender. Does a lot of the little things well, as you would expect from a Nick Saban coach defensive back. My question with him, even though that he's the former wide receiver and he does show the ability to catch the ball when it's thrown to him, I always had that issue. And this is something that I always try to pick up on as I watch a corner more and more and more. And you might need to watch 7-8 games worth of a guy to really get a good sense of how well he does this. And that's playing the ball in the air down the field. You know, when you have to turn your back to the quarterback, get your eyes on the receiver, and then turn and find the ball late and make a play on the football, get it on the ground or finish for the interception, that's a natural thing. And it's something that you want to be able to see those corners do. I wasn't sure if Cyrus Jones was that kind of a guy. Now, again, I want to continue to watch more. He's a little bit undersized. I think he's more of an off-coverage guy as opposed to a press-coverage guy. I don't know if he's going to be a fit for everybody. Certainly shows the ability to potentially play in the slot as well. I like Cyrus Jones. I'm excited to continue to watch more of him because I think he offers a lot of value.
Next question here comes from Bid the Kid, who says, I believe that the Eagles have a few extra picks in rounds four and on. So what guys could be potential steals in the later rounds for us? And again, the Eagles do have 9 draft picks. They have 2 5th-rounders and 2 7th-rounders. So, Fran, who could be some guys in that 5-7-round area who could be potential steals? Maybe some guys that we're seeing down here in Mobile.
You know, I think if you look, and we'll just kind of go position by position here that are down here, I think at the quarterback position, I think Jay Coker's had a pretty solid week.
I would agree.
He's missed a couple throws here and there, certainly. But I think that he's had a pretty solid week. And I've always been a fan of what he can be. I know he's not perfect, but I have always been a fan of his talent. He's a big kid, throws well.
Because I've just watching him on TV, I was never really a big fan of him. I thought, you know, he was okay. He was pretty good, but wins a national title. He comes down here, and he's impressed me in what I've seen from him in 2 days.
Sure, absolutely. And you talk about the running back position. Tyler Irvin's a guy that's really, really impressive.
Yep.
He's a sub-5'10". He was listed at 177 coming down here really, really light. Ended up weighing in at 192. So maybe that'll help his cause a little bit. Really quick. Offers the ability to make some plays out of the backfield as a receiver as well as a returner. I think he offers great versatility. He's a guy that would excite me on day 3. At the wide receiver position, you know, I think that there are some interesting guys. The one guy that I'll talk about, though, Sharon Peake from Clemson.
Absolutely.
He's 6'2¼", 208 pounds. Wasn't a featured player in that Clemson offense. Made some plays, obviously, especially with Mike Williams, who is going to be one of the best receivers next year's draft, out for the season. But Peake is a guy he's got solid size. He's got solid speed. I think he catches the ball pretty well. He flashes the ability to be a good route runner. Does a lot of things well. Can he do it consistently? And he's an interesting guy that I think you could take a flyer on. At the tight end spot, I really like this. The Iowa kid, Henry Krieger Coble. I was talking to Tony Pauline earlier about him today. He doesn't know if he's going to get drafted. I think he might be a borderline draft pick. I like him. I think he's one of the better senior tight ends available. I think that's why he's down here. But he's a guy that really intrigues me. He's got good movement. He gives good effort as a blocker. We talked all week about this offensive line class and how there's a really good depth, and I think that there's good value in the later rounds. You know, so you might be able to get a Graham Glasgow to come in and play guard and potentially start for you in the later rounds. You might be able to get a Chris Westerman, who's a guard from Arizona State, to come in and start for you early. Evan Bame, can he fall into day 3 and play potentially center or guard? I think there's a really good amount of talented players at the offensive line spot that bodes well for Eagles fans. As you know, a lot of them are very, very interested in offensive line help throughout the course of the draft. And you look at the defensive line, will Carl Nassib fall that far? I think that'll be an interesting question to follow. Will Matt Ioannidis fall down there? Charles Tapper is not getting a ton of love nationally. I love the kid. I think he's a day 2 talent. Will he go that far? That'll be very, very interesting. At linebacker, I like the Josh Forrest kid from Kentucky. He's big, he's physical, he's instinctive, he comes downhill. So there's some interesting prospects there in terms of Josh Forrest from Kentucky. Harlan Miller, the corner from Southeast Louisiana, another small school guy we haven't necessarily talked about yet. And then at safety, Kevin Byard is a big hitter. I think he's definitely a strong safety type, but I think he shows to be functional on the back end in terms of his ball skills especially. I thought he played the ball really, really well in the air. So if we're going to just pick some possible day 3 steals across the board position by position, those would be the guys I talk about.
Next question here comes from James Madsen, who is pretty obviously a Mizzou Tigers fan, as he wants to know about Evan Bame and Kentrell Brothers compared to their peers. What have you seen from those two players?
Hey, here, Kentrell Brothers is walking by now, and he's waving at us, pointing and saying, hey, let's go Mizzou. So there you go, Jason. That's all for you. But Kentrell Brothers, he's a big physical kid, was one of the most productive linebackers in the entire country this year. He measured in. Let me look at what his measurables were. They were bigger than I thought that they would be. He came in over 6 foot, 249 pounds. Definitely a guy who's got that in-the-box ability and a really impressive player. But now you're looking at how does he compare to Josh Forrest? How does he compare to Tyler Matakevich? How does he compare to Deion Jones? I think they're slightly different players, but you talk about some of those big in-the-box type linebackers. I think Brothers is very comparable with a lot of players there. As far as Evan Bame on the offensive line, I think Bame is the best center here. He's one of my favorite interior linemen in the draft.
I think he's the best center here.
I think he's the best center here. I was a big fan of his game coming into the week, so I'm a big fan of Evan Bame.
There you have it. A couple Mizzou Tigers as, again, Kentrell Brothers walks by us and gives us a thumbs up as we're talking about it. But that's the great part about being here. We're in the players' hotel, and they're going off. They're having, you know, informal and formal interviews with all the different teams. They're just walking around mingling. It's one of the cool parts about being down here. We also just had Tyler Matakevich from Temple, who was on the phone walking back and forth. So I'm surprised Fran didn't get up.
I didn't even see him. So there you go. I'm in the zone.
Absolutely. Wired in here on the Journey to the Draft podcast. All right, our last question here. This one comes from Dylan Roach. How has Dak Prescott looked so far, and how much space is between him and Carson Wentz in your eyes? So how much, you know, where is Prescott at right now compared to the other quarterbacks that we're looking at down here?
I think there's a pretty big gap between he and Carson Wentz. And I actually made the comment to you. We were watching those quarterbacks on the North squad, and I know that – Dak Prescott's playing for the South, but watching the quarterbacks in the North, you could tell. I mean, there was a noticeable difference between the way he threw the ball
Absolutely.
And the other three guys on that team, and it's certainly a guy that I'm very, very impressed with. And Prescott, I think, is a nice player. I think he's a solid prospect. A lot still that he needs to improve on, especially working within the pocket under pressure. I think that's not an area that he's going to improve on here necessarily in practice. Maybe we'll be able to see it a little bit in the game, but certainly a guy that's got the arm, he's got the athleticism. He has flashes, and he showed some moments throughout his career, but not a guy that consistently has shown the ability to win from the pocket so far, and I think that's an area where he'll look to improve on moving forward.
Well, that will just about wrap things up for this edition of the Journey to the Draft podcast presented by AAA. Thank you for all the fans who submitted their questions to us, and thank you to all the listeners out there. And again, whether it's on iTunes, Stitcher, or if you go to PhiladelphiaEagles.com, however it is that you listen to your Eagles podcast, be sure to rate, comment, subscribe, let us know what you like and what you didn't like. So I think we'll sign off here from day two from Mobile for Fran Duffy. I'm Alex Smith. We'll talk to you guys again tomorrow.